You're listening to Abstinence After Sex. Hi, you guys. Thank you for coming back to another show. And today, you guys, I do not want to talk about today's subject because it's something that I am struggling with on a day-to-day basis. And it is patience. Yes, we are going to talk about having patience while you're waiting. Before you click out of this podcast and press stop, I want you to know that I went back and forth and I did not want to talk about this. But God gave me confirmation that it's something that I need to talk about because it's something that I'm struggling with and it's something that other people are struggling with. So we're going to struggle together and we're going to struggle with the Lord and He's going to help us out of this thing. I'm saying this with a smile on my face, but deep down, you guys, I want to cry. All right. So I got my confirmation from someone who texts in this group message. I'm not going to say any names, but she sent us this, our theme scripture for today. And it's James 1, verse 2 and 3. And it says, "Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." What this scripture is saying is that while you are waiting, you should be joyful. While you are going through trials, you should be joyful because those trials are growing your patience. When we pray for patience, God doesn't just give us patience. It's not like he snaps our fingers and we get patience. We are given patience by going through tests. I'm going to give you some tools and some scriptures that I picked from the Bible that just help us with waiting and help us to change our behavior and change our attitude while we're waiting. Because if we're honest, our attitude really sucks. While we're waiting, we have the nerve to kick and scream and roll our eyes and question God almost every day as to why He's not giving us something that we honestly do not deserve. If you think about it, how many times we've sinned, how many times we've given God empty promises after He's delivered us from stuff, and yet and still we believe that we deserve a blessing. We're over here acting like oversized three-year-olds. We're kicking and screaming, rolling our eyes and saying, "God, when are you going to give me what I want? Because I want it now." And then we go out and sin. Because while we're complaining always leads to rebellion. When I think about the times when I would complain, I wish I was married, or, I can't wait till I can have sex and stuff, I ended up having sex. Because in your brain, while you're complaining, your brain is she doesn't enjoy what she's doing right now. So why don't we just do the opposite of what she's doing? Because she's obviously not happy. Her words are saying that she's not happy. The way that she's deep breathing is telling me that she's not happy. So let us just rebel. Let's just rebel against what she's doing right now. So complaining always leads to rebellion. So while we're complaining, we're sinning, and then we have the nerve to ask God to have patience with us. But we can't have patience with Him. The goal of today's show is just to give you some steps and to give myself some steps because I rush God too. So we're going to use these tools to change our behavior and change our attitude while we're waiting. So the three tools that we're going to use are worship, serve, and questioning. We're going to worship while we wait, we're going to serve while we wait, and we're going to question while we wait. And I'm going to get into detail right now. The first one, worship while you wait. I know that sounds so typical. It sounds so cliche. Oh, worship while you wait. Praise the Lord. And I didn't want to talk about it, but the Holy Spirit kept bringing it up. Worship while you wait. But then I wanted to know, what is worship? Because when you grow up in church or when you go to church, we confuse worship as a song. When we go to church, people are we're going to enter into praise and worship, and the first thing that they do is start singing. But I want to clarify to everyone that worship is not a song. Worship is more so you glorifying God in your day-to-day activities, in your everyday life. In the WOW conference, Pastor Aranessa Harris, she said that worshiping, like the act of worship, worshiping is the amount of time, money, energy, and attention we give something. That definition was very mind-blowing to me because it showed that we can worship other things other than God. In the Bible, they talk about how people are worshiping false idols and stuff, but today we can worship false idols by giving all of your money, all of your attention, all of your energy to something other than God. My question to you is, does your life bring glory to God? If someone were to follow you and look at your day-to-day activities and the way you speak and the way you think and just examine you, would they know from your actions and the way that you carry yourself that you're a Christian? It's important to focus on just the way that you're carrying yourself. Also, while you're waiting, you can worship God by just having daily devotion with Him. Daily devotion is very important because the more time we spend with God, the more we get to know God, the more like God we become, the more He's able to change us and change our mindset and just remind us that what we're waiting for is going to come. And lastly, the reason why you should worship God, and now I'm speaking about worship in like a form of adoration and saying God is so wonderful and God is so great. We should worship God while we wait because it just puts us back in our place. Like if we think about it, we're asking the creator of the universe. We're asking Him for something. Do you know how privileged you are? And also, I say that it puts us in our place because have you ever dealt with a 2-year-old or something and they're like giving you demands and they're telling you what they're not and what they're not going to do and what you are going to do? And you look at them with your head cocked to the side like, do you know who I am? And I think that's how God looks at us sometimes. He puts His hand, He cocks His head to the side like, are you really talking to me like that? Like, I didn't just help you. Like, are you really doubting me right now? Are you really doubting the fact that I told you that I was going to do this? Are you telling me that I'm not a person of my word, that I'm not going to keep my word? Because the way that you're questioning me, the way that you're coming to me, the way that you're making your own separate moves after you already asked me to do this thing, it's like, you don't know who I am. So God has His head cocked to the side like, miss, do you know who I am? And worship reminds us and puts us back in our place to remind us who God is. The Bible says that God is not a liar. God is truth. God will do what He said that He was going to do. All right. The second tool is serve while you wait. And yes, this sounds cliche too. And this probably is the last thing that you want to do is give yourself to others or give your time and energy to others when you're waiting for something that you want. But it's honestly harder to wait when you have nothing to do. Like if you think about it, you put something in the oven. If you sit there and stare at that oven for 45 minutes while that macaroni and cheese is cooking, it's going to seem longer than if you put the macaroni and cheese in the oven and then you go upstairs, you watch an episode of Netflix or something and you put the timer on. Or you do something, you do some chores and you put the timer on. You just keep yourself occupied while you're waiting for a certain thing. And service is that thing. Service is that thing that we're supposed to do while we're waiting. So instead of checking on God, asking Him when is He going to do this, complaining about it's not being done, we should be serving others. We should be serving the world. We should be serving our church. We should be serving our pastor. Like, we should be serving while we're waiting. And I want to clarify for everyone the reason why we serve, because we often get the purpose of serving wrong. We don't serve out of expectation. Like, the reason why you're serving is not to get something from God. So don't approach your service like, oh, I'm gonna do this, this, that, and that. I'm gonna teach the kids at Sunday school so that God can give me my new house that I've been praying about. No, that's not what we're serving. We serve because of our faith and our understanding, which means instead of saying I'm serving because I want this house, you're saying, I know that God is going to give me this house. So while I'm waiting, while He's preparing that for me, let me serve. I hope that makes sense to you. It's a total different, like, it's a total different shift. It's a different shift. Instead of saying, I'm doing this because, say, because I know that he's going to give me this, like, it's no doubt in my mind, I might as well serve. I might as well do this, this, and that. Now, I want to clarify, you do not have to serve, but the reason why God saved us is to serve. And I hear people saying, girl, bye. Jesus did not save me to serve. And I am about to drop a verse on you. I'm about to drop some scripture on you to give you some proof. Ephesians 2 verse 8 through 10. This is the New Living Translation. It says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can what? So we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So the reason why Jesus died on the cross is for you to do good deeds. It's for you to serve others. Let me give you another example, because I know people are still like doubting me, like, no, Bethany, he said good things. Like, no, I'm going to give you another example. After Jesus then got up off that cross, rose on the third day, spent some time with his disciples, what did he tell his disciples to do? Matthew 28 verse 19, therefore go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus did not tell them to go watch Netflix after he done saved them so after he done saved their souls. What did he tell them to do? To go out and work and do good deeds and save other people's souls and let other people know. So while you are waiting for that blessing, what you need to be doing is serving, not complaining, not waiting around twiddling. I think that's the way I said it. I think that's the right way, but you know what I mean. Circling your thumbs, waiting for God to hand you your blessing. All right. And I also want to put out, make sure that what you're doing is something that you like to do. And it's important that you like to do it, because you don't want to end up hitting and quitting God. So what I mean by that is, you don't want to act like a player. Like, you don't want to tell God, oh, I love you, I'm serving, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm helping in the church, I'm feeding the homeless. But then as soon as God give you your blessing, you stop everything. You just hit and quit God. Like, you sweet talked him, you told him this, this, that, and third. You was going to do this, you was going to love him, you love him so much. Here I am to worship God, my all is yours. Like, you're over here sweet talking God, and then as soon as he give you your blessing, you're like, oh. And then we got the nerve to be like, look at God blessing me, all up on Facebook and Instagram, talk about some only God. But miss, you stop serving at the church. You stop going to that homeless shelter. So it's important that you like what you're doing, because even in the midst of serving, we will be tested, and you want to ensure that you're graced for it and that you like what you're doing, because you don't want to give it up after God has blessed you. Like, that's what players do. And then when you do that to God, you have to think about that. Like, yes, you have that blessing, you have that house, but what about everything else that God can do for you? So don't just focus on that one little bit of blessing. Focus on the fact that what you were here, what God saved you for, is to serve others. And also, let it be known that your blessings are not for you. Your blessings are to bless other people. I feel like a lot of times we get blessed, we get a new house, we get a new job and stuff, and we start spending it and focusing on ourselves. Like, your blessings, God doesn't bless you just for you. He blesses you to bless other people. So while you're waiting, make sure that you serve. Make sure that you like what you're doing, because you don't want to get the blessing that you were waiting for and then just give up the service. Because God can easily give you something and he can easily take it away. So don't hit and quit God. Don't try to play him. And then the last thing that you're going to do while you're waiting is question. And I know a lot of people's like, yes, I get to question God. Nope, boo. You're going to question yourself, okay? So I want you to write down after you do all this, because I wanted to put this first, but then the Holy Spirit was like, no, you got it out of order. Do what I say first and then do what you want. Okay, so the last thing that you're supposed to do, and make sure you do this in order, is question, which means what? Like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Like, are you waiting for God to give you a house? Are you waiting for God to help you stop this addiction? What are you waiting for? And then write down why. It's important that we write down the why, because the reason why we're impatient is because we feel like when we get this certain thing, then we'll be happy. And God wants to be that satisfaction. So he doesn't want you to think like, oh, once I get married, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be successful. Then I'll like have everything that I want. God wants to be that everything that you want. God wants to be that satisfaction for you. God wants to give you that joy, that give you that happiness that you think that the blessing is going to give you. And also, it's important to write these things down because some people don't even know what they want. They're just walking around unsatisfied and moping around for no reason. Like, you're complaining, but you don't even know what you want. Like, you're not happy with life, but you don't know what you want out of life. So write it down. Like, for me, for example, I'm gonna give you an example. So I wrote down, like, I want a house. Like, I want my own home. And I put down why. Like, why do I want my own home? Because I feel like once I get it, I'll feel like an adult. Another thing that I want is I want to get out of debt, get rid of my student loans. And my reason why is because I don't like owing people. Like, I don't like people calling me, asking me to pay this and that. Like, it's not comfortable. It's not what we should do. The Bible says that we should not be in debt. I gotta find that scripture for you guys, but that's what the Bible says. It says we should not be in debt. We are his people. We should not be in debt. We should not owe anyone anything. So those are the two things. So just write down your things, write down what you believe will make you happy and why. Write down what you want and write down why you want it, so that it'll just clarify in your mind, like, what you're being impatient for. What are you complaining and walking around moping for? And sometimes the things that we do, the things that we want, God agrees with. They are in the will of God. Like, I believe, like, me wanting to get out of debt, that's in the will of God, because the Bible says that as Christians we aren't supposed to be in debt. If what you want is in the will of God and he wants you to have it, then you have to think about, are you prepared for the blessing? So, like, can God trust you with what you're praying for? I'm saying I want to be out of debt, but am I managing my money correctly? Am I preparing for what I'm praying for? Am I practicing good money habits right now? And a lot of times when we pray and we ask God for stuff, we don't realize that we're basically asking God for more responsibility. You're asking for a new house and stuff, but, like, are you a steward over the house that you have, over the apartment that you have, over that room that you have? Are you cleaning it up? Are you managing stuff correctly? Like, are you spending your money wisely, or are you just spending it however you get it? You get it and then you spend it. You don't even save anything. God can't trust you if you're not being a good steward over what he already has given you. And some people, you're praying for a husband, but you don't have characteristics of a wife. Like, you're asking God for a husband. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, it says when a man finds a wife, not when a man finds a woman. Like, he says when a man finds a wife. So are you preparing to be that wife? Are you prepared? Do you know what it is to be a wife? And the way that we can practice being a wife, I watched a video by somebody, I can't remember her name, but she said the way that we practice being a wife is by being a wife to Christ first. So submitting to Christ first, you have to submit to your husband. I know right now I'm not ready to be a good wife to a good man. Why? Because I can't even submit to God half the time. But yet, people are out here praying and stuff and asking God and getting upset when God doesn't bless them with a husband. So I just want you to just think about if you are prepared and ready for what you're waiting for. Because 9 times out of 10, that is the reason why you're waiting. One, for patience, and also because you're not ready for what you're praying for. And you keep asking God for what you're praying for, but you're not ready for it. You're not being a steward over what He has already given you. I hope these steps help you while you're waiting. It is hard to be patient. I know from personal experience, but when we worship, when we serve, and when we just question while we're waiting, it'll make it easier for us to have patience and always incorporate God in every situation. It just makes things easier. Hope that you got something out of this, because waiting is hard, but I feel like we make it harder than it should be. If we worship God, if we serve and stop staring at the oven, and if we know exactly what we're waiting for and we prepare ourselves for what we're waiting for, it won't be that hard, and it won't be hard to be patient while we're waiting. I thank you so much for listening, and I will see you on the next show. All right, peace.